Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Yeah, I mean, I got the cap that proves it. You can't argue with that. That's like better than a passport. They give out passports with a cap, or is it caps with a passport? Anyway, back to the topic. So finally, Germany's managed to elect their new federal chancellor. Friedrich Merz has just won because, just like in the Republic of Ireland, is the par parliament votes for him. The Bundestag, or Deutschland in our case. So yes, he's leader of the largest party, CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, which is obviously in permanent alliance with the Christian Social Union, the CSU, as they call it in Bavaria. Bavarians always have to do things a little bit differently. I mean, in Ireland might say, well, Northern Ireland's like that or something. So yeah, he's coming in, and that's like over 2 months after his party won the elections in the Bundestag. So there's 630 seats there. And surprised they voted by secret ballot. So the electors aren't to know the person they voted for wanted Merz to be chancellor or not. So, yeah, he's got the CDU, and they're in coalition with the Social Democrats. So the other mainstream party historically. But all right, the Social Democrats have been pushed into third place by Alternative for Deutschland, the party that just yesterday was officially designated extremist right wing. So in the first vote, he lost, and that hadn't happened for almost a century. Because in the Weimar Republic, which is like 1919 to 1933, they changed chancellor on average every year, because it was highly unstable. These coalitions, which were vociferous and so on, and they couldn't get continuity in government. But yeah, but he's in there. But the fact that he lost in the first vote, maybe that's a healthy thing. Just how free it is, how independent minded it is. You don't want governments being too strong. That's one of the lessons they learned from totalitarianism, to move away from that. Now, the Bundestag can hold any number of votes. He could have lost the second vote, gone for a third vote. But yeah, the Bundestag did eventually elect him with a majority of 325 in the Bundestag. That's a 325 votes. That's a majority of 9. Okay, so here's Christlich Sozial Union with the Sozialdemokratische Partei Deutschlands. They got 328, so that is enough for that to go on. So he's ruling the Federal Republic, and within hours of having voted in by the Bundestag, then he was sworn in by the President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, because of course the president is the head of state, and it's up to him to then confirm this. And Merz chooses his team of 17 cabinet ministers, so they're taking over. Okay. Anyway, so he's quite a conventional politician. Friedrich Merz, committed to the European Union. The European Union is very popular in Germany, and not quite as popular as in Republic of Ireland, for instance. But it's only the Alternative for Deutschland have made Eurosceptic noises. At the moment, even they don't advocate for withdrawal. So yeah, there we go on. All right. So this is the European Union's biggest economy. Economic growth is sluggish, actually gone backwards slightly. Will it pick up again? He faces some major problems. Remember, the Alternative for Deutschland has got 21% of the vote last time, and there's no indication it's peaked. It might even get bigger. I mean, it might plummet. I think maybe as the Ukraine war ends, if some refugees leave, if the economic situation picks up, inflation slows down, cost of living gets under control, I think the Alternative for Deutschland will diminish. But I don't think it's going to shrivel up and disappear. It's going to be around. Noticeably, I mean, for the rest of the decade, definitely, and possibly beyond. I mean, I think in the 2030s, it'll still be there, but it might be quite minor. Obviously, can't predict, more than 5 years out without any degree of accuracy. So, obviously, the leader of the Alternative for Deutschland, Alice Weidel, and she slammed Merz coming in, saying that he was feeble. All right, so there are economic difficulties to face. And there's too much, people are worried that there's too much immigration, that public services are under threat. Is their identity under threat? They've got to ramp up defense spending. Okay, and the he's facing threats both from Alternative for Deutschland, which is Putin inclined, as well as Die Linke, that's the extreme left. I've got this sort of communist era nostalgia for Russia, saying, oh yeah, them starting this war of genocide against Ukrainians. That's a good thing. That's really socialist. That's all about human rights and equality, obviously, because but Russia is one of the most rapaciously capitalist countries in the world, is grossly inegalitarian. But then they're pacifists. Well, okay, but that only really works if the other side are pacifists too. Anyway, so it's quite difficult for the middle of the road parties right now. You can see there's this disenchantment with the establishment that both Die Linke and Alternative for Deutschland are buying into. And the Greens, another far left party, and the ZDU, obviously they want to transition to all renewable energy, but they can't push it too far because economic cost would just be too high. There are other problems, a demographic death spiral. Germany's got a very low fertility rate, about 30% of German women at least reach menopause, never having had a child. I don't doubt their right to do it any more than I dispute your right to have a dozen children. But the trouble is, without German babies, there are no Germans in future. And I say that regardless of ethnicity. I recognize there are black Germans and Chinese Germans, Turkish Germans, they're German too. Okay, it's not about skin color or DNA. Anyway, so what are we going to do to make things more livable? But we mustn't overstate the scale of the difficulties facing Germany. Still a highly advanced economy, isn't it? Like the fifth biggest economy in the world. Crime is not that high. They are making progress on green energy. Unemployment is fairly low, and inflation is not even that bad. The cost of living is not that bad. They faced far, far worse situations. And obviously, in the first few years after 1945, I mean, even the early 90s, reunification, mass unemployment in the East. Yeah, they're in NATO, they're ramping up their military spending, and that may stimulate the economy. They're known to be have cutting edge technology. Relations with their neighbors are more cordial than ever, really, so that there are no significant problems like that. And yet more of a chance to put the Second World War behind them. And they've got warm relations with the United Kingdom, Brexit notwithstanding, and so on. It's not fantastic with Trump, but Germany's not certainly not all on its own. There's not that much anti-Ukrainian sentiment. So goodness, what else? So it's not going to be easy for him, because how does he get the economy growing, spending more on defense without taxing more, which would be bitterly unpopular? How do you advance on renewable energy fast enough to mollify people who are environmentally inclined without the economic cost being too high? And obviously, energy is linked to how much you can heat your home, switch the lights on, various businesses, offices need plenty of electricity, and so on. There are certain factories which are very energy intensive, transport, obviously electric cars, electric trains, and so on. So you're just driving up the cost of living if you're making it more expensive to generate electricity. And going back to nuclear on a significant scale is a bit of a no-no. And partly their response to Fukushima overreaction really put them over a barrel and made them over-dependent on Russia. And that was Angela Merkel, his ZDU predecessor. Right. So what do you think? What are the biggest headaches facing Friedrich Merz? At 69, he's the oldest chancellor to come into office since Konrad Adenauer in 1949. And the one reason that the Americans, the French, the Brits wanted Adenauer is they wanted a staunchly anti-communist chancellor who was never tainted with Nazism. And Adenauer was that, the former mayor of Cologne. The only trouble is he's very old. Because goodness, how old was it was he came in? When he came in, he was like sort of 75 or something, pretty old now. But remember, 1949, 79 then, it was like eight, it was sorry, 75 then, it was like 85 now, easily, because those people didn't live to that age. Thanks for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecalan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.